you don't have a crying while masturbating podcast.
Well, I did. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk with our friend Andy Wilkins about coming out gay, coming out as a transsexual woman, and even coming out as an atheist at work.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Oh, hello.
And Nick Glover.
Oh, hello.
And we have a guest that we've been wanting to get on for a long time, so I'm really happy
that
we finally got her here. We have our lovely and talented guest, Andy Wilkins. Welcome to the podcast, Andy.
Oh, thank you so much.
And the topic that we are talking about today is coming out at work. Or being out at work might be a better way to put it. We've talked about this in the past. I've talked about the challenges of being an atheist in a work environment where everybody I'm working with is not.
Mm-hmm.
And how open or not open you feel comfortable in being.
And we talked to Miranda about coming out as trans, both to your family and work and things like that. Yeah. We've talked a lot about coming out in general.
And because you can't see Andy, Andy is transgender as well.
And, well, thanks for making
that. I was going to say, not that you'd know if you saw her.
Not that you'd know if you saw her.
What is that?
Transgender.
Well, she is wearing that T-shirt that says, I'm transgender.
It's the transgender
T-shirt. It's kind of in your face, Andy. Right. Maybe you should just wear regular clothes.
Or clothes.
So I've been insensitive already once on this podcast. I'm sure I'll do it again.
Don't worry, Tim. We'll be there to embarrass you.
Thanks. So Andy is transgender, and also I think before you were transgender, you were in a same-sex relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So you, as we said, discussed before the podcast, you've had to come out about three different things.
Andy likes dick. Hold up. Cheers. Yeah.
I like my dick. I don't know, does that...
You are super gay for yourself. I've seen it.
So, how have you navigated? I think the question is, how have you navigated those three different experiences? I mean, they're all coming out, but they're all different things that you're coming out about.
Well, it's different because it's sort of it starts out, the first thing that starts out is when it comes to atheism, it's a choice to come out. Like there's no you don't really
you can hide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess to a degree, if you're in a same-sex relationship, you can hide. I mean, you shouldn't, because I mean, you should live your life the way you want to live it. And I actually was afraid of that for a long time too. But when it comes to being transgender, there's a part of that you really can't hide. Like, especially if you have to come out while you're on the job. And that's kind of tough in its own right. I mean, I was scared shitless when I came out on my last job. But the weirdest dichotomy is finding out that you blend well and realizing that now I have a choice again about that.
Sure, because you just started a new job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh. And you've been you since you started this new job.
Exactly.
So they don't know you any other way.
Mm-mm. I mean, you know, some people already do know that I'm trans there because my partner works there and has worked there for almost a year now. But, you know, those people are just a very small percentage of a giant mega corporation. So,
yeah.
Right.
You know, like most of the day-to-day people don't have no idea.
Like, on one hand, it matters because, you know, you should be seen and recognized, not ashamed, and you know, be who you are. But on the other hand, like it shouldn't matter to them because it shouldn't matter because, you know, hopefully they're not, like, dickholes.
Yeah. Well, at least we live in Minnesota where, like, people really aren't going to be dickholes about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
Minneapolis.
It's a passive aggressive thing. They'll go home and they'll be dickholes to their spouse.
Yeah. I can't believe you just said yay, spousal.
Well, no, it's spousal abuse. They'll just go home and say all the dickhole things that
they'll be. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, but, like, they don't say anything. Like, if someone reads me in, like, the bathroom, they're not going to go, oh, my God, look at that. There's a man in the bathroom. They say, like, they'll walk over and they'll whisper to their table or, you know. Or, like, at the gym in the locker room. Like, I occasionally get weird stares, but it's not really, like.
Really?
Microaggressions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
It's mostly because I don't shave my ass.
I will say. I will say, I've seen some hairy asses in the ladies' locker room, and not once have I thought, oh my God, that's a man. I've just been like, damn, girl. You know, it's Justin, your partner and I, we're friends. We talk a lot on Facebook about these issues and other things, but.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, but particularly.
He's introduced himself to me on 3 separate occasions. So,
and on 3 separate occasions, he said that he isn't, that you have no idea who he is. Which is totally fine.
I have said many times that if I'm ever in a bathroom and there's a cisgendered woman, which is, if you don't know, I think we covered this when we talked to Miranda, but cisgendered is you're born with the biological parts that you think you should have. That's, I'm cisgendered. Nick's cisgendered. Tim is cisgendered. If I see a cis woman in a bathroom giving a trans woman a hard time, that cis woman is going to leave with blisters up and down her fucking ears because I am going to give her, she will feel shame for echoing through her generations of shame, because to me, I just don't understand why the fuck you give a shit, especially in a woman's bathroom. We don't have urinals. You go in a stall, you close the goddamn door. Do you know the things I have done in a woman's bathroom stall?
I know some of them.
There's a
part way worse than not having reassignment surgery. I'll tell you that.
There's a part of our podcast that we could take back.
So. My assumption in the bathroom is usually just that, like, I can trust that another person has made the decision to go into the appropriate bathroom for them, and it's none of my fucking business,
right?
Because it's a bathroom. We're all there just to get a little work done and get the fuck out. No one's like, yeah, I'm gonna go into the bathroom. That's sinister. No, I mean, yeah.
I think it is interesting the part of the country we are in and the differences. I mean, you wonder if, you know, you were coming out as trans in Mississippi or Alabama, what the differences would be if you would find people more confrontational, because in that part of the country they have a tendency to be a little less confrontational than here. Like I say, I think that it's not even necessarily that there aren't people who judge. I think that the tendency is just to go home and be judgmental to whoever you go home to, rather than to the person that you're judging.
I could see that.
I'm not sure that that's healthy, but at the same time,
it's certainly not healthy. Passive aggressiveness is never healthy.
I don't think confronting somebody in the bathroom is healthy either.
Well, no. You know what's healthy is not giving a fuck, because that's because you shouldn't. I mean, I genuinely, when it comes to things like abortion and things like that, or people, I have my opinion, and my opinion is abortion's awesome, and if you don't like abortion, don't have an abortion, that's great, whatever, but, like, I'm never gonna say to somebody that they shouldn't give a fuck if they really genuinely have an opinion about it, whatever. But when it comes to this, it has, and I mean this sincerely, literally no effect on your fucking life.
Yep.
If someone else wants to be whatever gender they want to be, and I don't understand why people, even doesn't matter, wants to be however you think of it. If you think of it as, even if it's not someone who's transgender, they just want to cross dress. I don't understand why that fucking matters to you. Like,
no,
why
it shouldn't. It should not matter at all.
Yeah.
I think it makes people uncomfortable. I've always thought that it makes people uncomfortable because they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always think
that they want to.
I think that's what it is. It's that they want to, and why does she get to?
It's a matter of, I mean, with, like, most things human, I mean, even, you know, like, race, it's a matter of exposure and education. Yeah. And people don't, I don't know how to act, I don't know what questions I should ask, I don't know what to say or what to do or how to behave, therefore, this confusion makes me angry or makes me upset.
It's the Hulk complex.
I was gonna say, are you saying the, like, so do you have like questions about your genitals are the equivalent of, can I touch your hair? Like, it's like black
kind
people?
Of.
I mean, like.
No, I mean, really. It's, I mean, people say that most, you know, bigotry is formed from ignorance of or you know lack of familiarity, and one of the reasons the gay marriage ban, double fuck you legal ban in Minnesota failed, the Constitution Amendment was because I would say a large part of the Minnesota United plan was to humanize the people that it would be affect and expose and be like, hey, look, these are just people, man. These are just people.
And they were telling, you know, people who were gay to go home to their family and say, if you vote against this amendment, you're voting against me.
Which is right.
And make it personal.
Because it is personal.
But people don't think of it that way until they're confronted with somebody standing in front of them saying...
They don't think of it that way as long as it's abstract and it's not personal. It's not anyone they know. It's not anyone they love. It's not anyone they're around or exposed to. But the second you're... The second someone gets to know someone and have black friends or black coworkers, they're going to be exposed to behaviors and people that aren't just reinforcing an ignorant negative stereotype.
Yeah.
Therefore, they're going to become less racist.
So, Andy, I have to ask, have you found that, like, which was hardest for you? Do you feel like telling people that you, when you were presenting as male, that you were in a same-sex relationship or coming out as trans? Like, which do you feel like felt like the more difficult obstacle to overcome?
Well, the thing that I was the most scared of was coming out as trans. But the thing that was most difficult for me was saying that I was in a same-sex relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I mean, I've not really identified quite that way. I mean...
Oh, that's really interesting.
You know...
So it was harder for you to say, like, I'm a gay male because the male part was a lie?
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a handful of relationships, and the hardest part is always is feeling like... Because you're perceived wrong.
Yeah.
When you're in that relationship.
Sure.
But right now, the hardest part is deciding whether or not I want to out myself.
Sure.
Yeah. Because, or just let people assume
you're a straight woman.
Exactly.
With a boyfriend.
And even that's an assumption, too. I mean,
well, true.
Well, and that does a disservice to Justin, I mean, to some degree, because, I mean, that's like labeling you guys as something that you're not.
Mm-mm.
It's so much more complex than just this easy label of straight.
Yeah,
you know, like,
that's something he's never done. He's written about this a bit online, and it's been really great to read and follow.
He has fantastic articles on the Huffington Post.
We'll link to a few of them.
Yeah. He talks about how someone else that you love changing, not changing their identity, but becoming public with their identity or out with their identity has forced him to reconsider his identity or the labels he chooses to use, the labels that get attached to him, and how... He didn't change who he loves I don't know.
He loves Andy.
Stuff I've never considered that is amazing.
Well, with your brother, Jamie. When Jamie came out as trans, one of the things that he told their mom was, you know, you are a lesbian. It was so easy for me to just be a gay woman. That was easier than to say that I'm a man. I mean, to explain that I'm a man.
We've always known that Jamie digs chicks.
Yeah, and so it was easy because... It was almost... It was applauded in the sense that it's like, yes, my daughter, like, hooray. And so when it was, you know, no, your son, who also likes chicks. I mean, she didn't have much trouble, but it was something that I think is, it's that kind of, I could see how for you to be like, oh, I'm a gay man, and now gay is kind of more accepted. So it's easier, it would have been easier in a way to just stay pretending, you know, but harder for you personally, but easier socially.
Yeah.
I mean, is that,
exactly.
Are you totally out as an atheist? It probably doesn't, it's not, I mean, it's not something... It's so easy to just, like, it doesn't come up.
It's really easy to not say anything. Although, I would argue it comes up. It comes up all the time.
I say it all the time.
At my workplace, people talk about their faith and they're going to church and God all the time.
Well, it's
undeniable that there's a Christian majority in this country and that it's a part of the culture, language at least, to some degree. Does it... Do you say anything if it comes up?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess to a degree, like, I don't explicitly say, like, I'm an atheist. Hello, my name is Andy. I'm an atheist kind of thing. But, you know, like when it comes to Easter or anything like that, or like people asking what they're doing, like, what are you doing for this kind of thing? Like, I'm going to go skiing on Sunday.
Yeah. Try not to break my ankle.
Yeah. I'm going to try not to hurt myself again.
Been learning less than the first several times.
Yeah. It's for me, it's not really like I never explicitly say anything about it, but I never explicitly deny it either. It's just who I am. And I don't know, is that injurious? Does that...
Not outwardly volunteering at the drop of a hat when it's not necessarily on topic isn't dishonest or like a mm-hmm. self-betrayal of identity? I wouldn't say so. I mean, you don't want to be the person that's like, when other people are talking about television, the first thing you say is, well, I don't even own a television. It's like, you're not contributing to the conversation. You're just being contrary. Yeah.
Tim, do you feel, do you feel like, Tim, like, you're the only one who has kids here. So, like, for example, like, if someone was talking about what their kids were doing, is there ever a world in which you might not talk about your kids? Like, let's say it's a bunch of people who don't have kids, and they're all saying, like, oh, my God, I'm so glad. I'm just going to go home, not have kids, you know, just, like, be at home and party all night.
High five.
Yeah. But, like, for real, though, I mean, so that's, I mean, could you ever, that's such a fundamental part of who you are, is your father.
Yeah.
Can you imagine ever denying that publicly and or downplaying it or pretending like you don't have kids?
No, I don't. And the thing is, I don't pretend to be a religious person at work, but I don't tend... I've actually kind of forced myself into the habit, if there's a conversation about religion, to say, you know, I'm an atheist. Not to say...
I'm an atheist.
Not to say this conversation makes me uncomfortable, but just so everybody knows where I stand. So when there's a conversation about, you know, well, what are you going to do on Easter Sunday? You know, my answer is going to be, well, you know, I'm an atheist. We aren't going to go to church, but we do look for eggs and blah, 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 blah. And I feel that makes me more comfortable to be able to be who I am without having to kind of pussyfoot around it.
Sure.
So, you know, when there is that kind of conversation the first time, you know, because after that I've said it, I don't need to say every time I'm an atheist. But I make sure that I identify so you understand where I'm coming from, just as you've already identified because you were comfortable doing that. And it's sort of that, to me, it's that message of, if you are comfortable communicating to me about your religion, then I'm going to be comfortable communicating to you about my lack of religion. Mm-hmm. And if that makes you uncomfortable, then we need to adjust how we communicate about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's an interesting point. Okay. No, because I feel, I talk a lot about being, I'm very open and vocal. I don't have any filters, and to my detriment or whatever. Like, I mean, no, I mean, for good or for ill, I have no filters. And I will often just talk about not believing in God or being an atheist and things, and sometimes I'll wonder, oh, I hope I'm not offending anybody, but I don't really care because they don't think about me.
Well, you can't choose what other people get offended
by. But they're not thinking about me when they talk about church. Sure. And they're not thinking about me when they talk about Easter, which doesn't happen a lot. I work in a very geeky place, and geeks, by and large, aren't super religious. I mean, I think I can say that and feel pretty comfortable. It's just tends to be a trait. If they may not be atheists, but they're just kind of, like, it's not a thing. Is there ever a time, Andy, where you feel like your trans identity or any other, your atheist identity, anything, where you're just like, I don't really care if anyone's offended because I'm just this, I mean, I'm not going to have a filter here.
Mm-hmm. I think really when it actually gets down to challenging something is when it really becomes like, yes, I need to say something. And for me, I'm that's not really my department. I'm not very good at that. I mean, I like Justin is the one who
he's the advocate.
He's the loud one. Yeah. He's the advocate. Like for me, I'm the one that kind of it takes a lot to get me to be that advocate. Like I don't naturally gravitate toward that.
Which is interesting to me because the characters I see you play at Renaissance Festival are very boisterous and outwardly, like, not even, I don't want to say aggressive, but authoritative.
Yeah.
Authoritative characters. And
this
so
sort of doesn't cover it.
Yeah, the idea that in your, when it comes to your real life and your real identity, you're just kind of like, I'm good.
It's weird. I'm that way when I'm with trivia too. Like I'm a very boisterous trivia host, energetic trivia host. But once that microphone shuts off, like I shut down.
It's the stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's I get that.
Well, you're an actor.
But yeah,
you're an actor. There's I think with Vilification Tennis, what kind of surprises people sometimes who talk to me, you know, outside of the show, is that I'm not a prick.
A lot of us.
Well, yeah.
A lot of us. I've often been told, I can't believe you're so nice.
Yeah.
That's, and it's like,
that's like
when I get a complaint.
Almost everyone in Vilification Tennis is like a genuinely nice person.
Yeah. When I get a complaint, so, people will send
even
me a
Mark
complaint.
Lazarczyk even Mark Lazarczyk is a genuinely nice
person.
Yeah, he
is. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you just said that out loud. When I
he's one of the kindest people and most generous people I know.
Check his pockets.
I hope he doesn't listen to this. So, when I get a complaint letter, which I get every now and again, I always respond super polite, super nice. I offer people their money back, and almost guaranteed, the first thing is, "Wow, based on the way you perform on stage, I never would have expected that kind of response."
Mark puts out this image that he's an asshole, and he really likes people to think that he's an asshole. But the thing is, I've never known anyone to, like, openly solicit to help people with their life. Just be like, do you have something I can help with? Let me know what that is, privately, if you will, and I'll do what I can. And he's, like, gone out of his way to help people find jobs or, like, loan people money and stuff. He does that, like, 4 or 5 times a year. There's some other stuff, too, but it's like, he'd prefer people think he's an asshole.
So yeah, I'm being an actor, but I mean, I have to think, Andy, that you have experience being an actor because for many years you were acting as a man.
That's true. Yeah. It is true.
Almost all the years so far.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like I mean, really, like in terms of, in terms of being out to people, June of 2013 was when I came out to Justin, and
it was, I mean, it was a year later that you came out to the world.
Yeah,
really.
Because
it was just before festival, I remember.
Yep.
Because I remember you and Justin talked to us kind of on the sly, and you were like, "This is happening," and you know, we're kind of testing the waters a little
celebrate
bit.
Celebrate that like a second birthday.
Oh, I do. It's actually December 12th though.
Oh, yay! Nice. I love it.
Or 16th.
Nice.
I love it.
Yeah.
And how long had you and Justin been together before you came out to Justin?
We had actually just moved in together.
Wow.
picked the shittiest.
Was he surprised?
Great.
Because when Nick's brother came out to us, we really weren't surprised.
No, because he's intuitive.
Yeah.
He's intuitive. He could read a lot. He could tell something was up.
When Jamie had been sad and depressed for about, and he's, more quiet than usual.
Right.
He's very shy and introverted.
He likes being out.
Okay,
he likes
he's extroverted. He's very shy.
He's very, very,
so it was,
very private.
We'd assumed a girl had broken his heart and that it was just that, and that he was just retreating kind of from everybody in general. And so when he came out to us, it was very, like, everything clicked. And I was like, oh, dude, like, that's amazing. And I imagine for Justin, especially loving you and living together and being so close, it must have been a similar just like
relief,
just clunk,
I
like
think so, yeah.
Tumblers finally.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it was a little bit different because it was, you know, it's a romantic relationship,
right,
too.
Sure.
And there's a lot of shit that needs to get sorted out and
something. Yes.
Like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, he's such an aggressive talker that we strengthen the bond between us in that way. And so like, I don't know, like to act for 28 years of my life, like I was ready to finally just be like, oh, I had hurt myself severely.
Mm-hmm.
Like at that point, it's not really severe. I mean, I tore my ACL, so it's not like a severe injury, but it's still something that's
pretty bad.
That's fairly significant.
We met you at the Renaissance Festival, and it was your first season, our first season.
Yeah, we had the same first season.
So I think in the time we've known you for like almost 4 years, you have been in a walking cast for more of that time than
not. It's true. I got my ACL, my meniscus.
You broke your ankle,
my ankle,
right?
Yeah, yeah, I actually had a compound fracture in my ankle and had to spend two and a half months of non-weight bearing.
And the screws have broken.
I've broken the screws.
I've seen the x-rays. They make me uncomfortable.
But so, you didn't say no.
No, I mean, I'm morbid curiosity. I want to see the x-rays that I know will make me uncomfortable.
So we just about got to get to the five questions portion of our show. And as always, there's a lot more to cover than I think we did. I guess my experience, and I think the experience of being out as an atheist versus being out as somebody who's a homosexual or a transgender situation, it's very different. Mm-hmm. But I think that to me, it's always felt better. I felt better being out about my identity, whatever that identity
is. It's true. It's a giant relief.
At the same time, I kind of feel like as cis hetero fucking white middle class dude, like, it, playing the atheist card in any way, comparing it to anyone who's gay or trans, I kind of feel like an asshole.
Yeah, you're right.
I kind of feel like it's a comparison. Mm. Are atheists persecuted? Sure.
But not really.
Sure.
It almost feels like you're trying to find a way to say I'm persecuted too.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't. It's not something.
Your internal struggle is still relevant.
And it's valid. It's relevant. But like, it's not like I always feel like it's like, oh, you think you have it bad. I also have it bad. It's one-upsmanship. Mm-hmm. It's not compassionate. It's not commiserating or finding camaraderie. It's like, oh yeah, me too. It's always how I feel.
I don't think that's the way. I don't think that's the way it is. I mean, to me, there are so many. It's like there's this one little challenge that we have that is similar to somebody who's trans or gay, but there are so many other challenges. You know, it's not like I'm trying to say this is an equivalent. It is.
Yeah.
This is an experience that we share, and even though the experience is different, I think it helps understand.
Sure.
The experience. It's not, to me, it's not about, oh, look at me, I had the same experience you did.
Yeah.
But it's more like I can have that tiny little bit of understanding that goes into when do you make that decision to come out to your parents and say, I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
When do you make that decision to come out to your parents and say, I'm trans. We've all had that experience of making the decision, even if I think the decision, that experience is so much harder to go through as gay or trans than it is as atheist. It still is a similar experience. It allows for some understanding of somebody else's.
And I would say that not in a comparative sense where like, oh, I have it worse or you have it worse or anything like that, but in a just it's different and acknowledging differences between challenges. I would say with race, it's even more different because if you're an atheist, if you're trans, if you're gay, you can choose to hide it. I'm not saying choose to hide it.
As horrible as that is, you can choose to hide it.
You could choose to hide it. You can never, almost never choose to hide race. And so like that's...
Or your biological given gender is also often hard to hide.
Yeah.
Often hard to hide.
Right. And so it's so different that I feel uncomfortable coming from the position of privilege that I am to try to emphasize that as a form of compassion, because it feels disingenuous.
I think it's always been fun for me coming into Nick's family, marrying into Nick's family, to watch Nick as the cis, white, hetero male with his lesbian moms and his adopted Korean brother who is trans and his adopted Guatemalan sisters who have lesbian parents, and to watch Nick as this like fuck, man. Like, I just, I'm just a hetero cis white guy, like and like people always assume things about you.
Yeah.
They assume so much that you don't understand anything about other things. And then like to discover that you have this incredibly rich tapestry of a home life is often a shock to people.
It gives you some perspective.
It does. And I think the human race would be better for some perspective. Just everyone needs if I could give a perspective vaccine. And honestly, if it could give everyone a little autism, that'd be great too.
Seriously, if the perspective vaccine caused autism, I wouldn't even have a problem.
Doesn't a perspective vaccine prevent people from gaining a perspective? Wouldn't that prevent perspectives?
Oh, good point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like autism.
A lack of perspective vaccine.
All right, five questions. Molly, why don't you do question number one?
Question number one, what is the best movie you have seen in the last 30 days at home, in the theater? Doesn't matter.
Birdman.
Oh, we just saw it.
Oh my God!
I haven't seen it yet. Fuck!
Oh my God! It was so beautiful and just fucking weird and cool.
It felt like the entire story itself felt like a Raymond Chandler story too.
Yes.
On top of
you gotta see it.
I know. I do have to see it.
It's worth the theater.
Although I will take an Oscar soapbox moment. Sorry, Nick.
No, please.
No.
There is one movie that did not get really any Oscar contention at all, save for one stupid award, and it is Nightcrawler.
Oh yeah, I really wanted to see.
Is that Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, it is. Nightcrawler is fantastic.
You and Justin have similar taste to us. I need to see that.
I haven't seen that one either. Really. Those are both on my list of stuff that I don't know why I haven't seen yet.
The meta aspect of Keaton playing Birdman is great.
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel like Molly and I had talked a lot after like walking out of the theater after seeing Birdman. It was just the least fucked up person in that movie is the only person who isn't an actor or involved in it's his ex-wife is like the most normal person. And then the second most normal person is his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And like everyone else is like damaged in a way that sometimes enables them to be very talented, but there's so many long shots.
Yeah,
lots of camera.
The shots go on forever.
It's edited to be one continuous shot.
I hope it wins for cinematography because it deserves it.
It's very appears seamless.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
All right, question number two.
Question two is: who is your favorite atheist character?
Dr. Nemesis.
Marvel Comics.
It wouldn't be a Geeks Without God without an incredibly, and not really obscure at this point, like, character, but, I mean, he's only in one book, really,
X-Force?
X-Force, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think, like, Rick Remender added him
French?
During his run.
No, that's Phantom X.
That's Phantom X, who also wears all white and is also an atheist.
I wouldn't say Phantom X is an atheist, because Phantom X believes in himself.
Right. He's biologically programmed not to believe in anything greater than himself.
Dr. Nemesis doesn't believe in gods to the point where when he's confronted with them, he's just like, whatever. Like, he's nonplussed by Thor, nonplussed by the Kree.
I pulled up my favorite Dr. Nemesis quote, because you had mentioned Dr. Nemesis earlier. It's, she's talking to Beast. Dr. McCoy, I don't believe in magic. I believe in science, and I believe in applying it harshly to any problems life presents. Take this weapon, for example. Fires hypos loaded with dangerous narcotics. Science narcotics. Of my own invention that can bring down all kinds of genetic aberrants. Just like... narcotics.
Gods to him are genetic aberrants.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome, Nandy.
All right, so fantastic. Question number three, what's your geekiest hobby?
Oh, gosh. I guess right now I would have two of them. The newest one I've got is, it's a New Year's resolution. I've been filming 1 second of every single day.
Oh,
I have a GoPro and I never use it. Really, it's because I've been injured for 2 years, but... It sat in my closet gathering dust, and I said, fuck it, I'm going to use it. Yeah. And I've been filming, like, just the random pieces of every single day. And it's not really anything exciting sometimes. Like, I film my dog probably about 10 times by now. But the point is just to get out there and shoot.
Yeah.
I guess if you're going to pick another geeky thing to be into, I just got a roto brush for my skis, waxing my skis. And, like, ski waxing is the stupidest thing on the planet. Because The point of ski waxing is to take the wax out of your ski.
Yeah.
It's not to actually put wax onto your ski.
It's to fill the holes and then remove any excess?
Yeah, because the ski itself, I guess the pseudoscientific way a ski is supposed to actually go down the snow is to not go down on, go like ride on top of the snow. It's to ride on top of the water on top of the snow. And so like the wax is designed to kind of feed the water over the rivulet, like the structure of the ski. And so there's so many different kinds of like things you can put into your into the bottom of your ski, the base of your ski that you're going to take out anyway, that are supposed to do different things. Like there's stuff that's supposed to make it more water resistant, stuff that's supposed to prepare for like granular snow, because you know some man-made snow is so fine that it actually has a crystalline structure that doesn't obey the rules of the water trickling over the base of your ski. And so you can put this special additive, like powder, and melt that in to actually make it work. Yeah, there we go. There's the geekiest thing I've been into.
That's awesome. Pretty fucking geeky.
Yeah. Sports, this is like how Molly is about running.
Yeah, like, sports geekery is the best.
And Rotobrush, to actually tie it into the geeky thing, is that I don't have to do as much work with my arms.
Because otherwise, waxing ski is an arduous task. Mm-hmm. And it requires a lot of like bicep and tricep motions. So
yeah, who the hell wants
I cross-country skied for a little bit, and it's not at all, because downhill you need to get the speed. Cross country, it's mostly just so you're getting a little less friction.
So how much does it matter? The waxing right and the like really?
Not to you, but literally you're in the Olympics.
Yeah. How much does it?
It could really mean. Well, that's the thing. Like, so like the diehard skiers are gonna argue that like it could mean like seconds off your time.
Sure.
But really, like. In terms of my experiences as someone who has ski raced, and I did qualify for nationals the year I broke my ankle, it can cut like a half a second off your time.
It's just
shoes.
Speed is what it affects more than anything, because it's just the water resistance and the hydrophobic nature of it.
It's the same thing with shoes and running. There are people who will say, like, if your shoe, if you can cut 2 ounces off your shoe, like, you will gain seconds because you just don't, you're not carrying that extra weight.
So it matters, but probably only to the point where your competitiveness is to the point where your seconds matter or count.
Mm-hmm. Split seconds, really.
Recreational ski, can you notice a difference in, like, control or speed or anything like that, or...?
Not really, but then again, most of the people that, like, because I have a waxing bench and I wax my own skis, friends and family will ask me to wax skis, and most of the time, if they're not ski racing, I just throw shop wax on their skis, which is great wax. Ski shops use it all the time, but... it's not real, like, and it'll give your skis a nice slippery feeling, but for the most part, most people don't do enough conditioning to notice a difference in terms of the ski faces themselves. A little, yeah. Actually, the last time I did it, though, I was watching Smallville while I did it, and so I guess there is some, like solitude and zen nature to it, but I don't know, it's just, you need something to kill the time sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's super cool. I just,
Question number 4, what is your favorite sandwich?
God, I love a really really big Italian like sub, like hot melted cheese, like different kinds of cheese, like Parmesan and
meatball or sausage.
No, not meatball though, because meatballs are kind of like unwieldy.
Yeah,
you need something that's got like deli meat,
like ham, pepperoni, the BLT at Subway, but not Subway, like ham, pepperoni, kind of thing.
It's got to be like a crusty bread, although I don't really eat bread, so...
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to have a sandwich, crusty bread's the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crusty bread.
Or you can do it with a cheese blend, too.
Ooh, yeah.
And then you let the cheese blend firm up.
God damn.
Question number 5. What is the stupidest thing anyone's ever said about your atheism?
Why are you an atheist? I mean, if I was an atheist, I'd just go out and kill people.
Well, I'm glad you're not.
Really glad you're not an atheist. Yeah.
I guess some of us have more self-control.
Jesus is the dental dam between you and killing people, apparently.
Dam.
Yeah. like, why is it even there? You should just not kill people.
Yeah.
Dental dams don't need to be there.
some sex health experts would disagree.
Well, don't go down on that. What are you doing? Get your face out of there.
Jesus is... Okay, Jesus is a little man. That's what we've learned. Thanks so much. Wow. Okay, so before
we... I went to an all-girls school.
Fair enough.
So before we go, Andy, you do trivia. We should let you plug that so people can...
Yeah, so first of all, as an awesome trivia host, I can be a private trivia host you for private parties. You just got to contact... Sean at TriviaMafia.com to arrange that. But publicly, if you want to get like a teaser, a little taste of it, I am the second Saturday of every month at the Summit Tap Room in St. Paul.
Excellent.
Second yeah, Saturday 6 o'clock p.m. It's fantastic.
Second Saturday at Summit.
Go out and check out Andy's trivia. We are Geeks Without God. I'm going to remind you that you can send us your five questions at Geeks Without God. I'm also going to remind you, as we said on last week's episode, we have a challenge coming up at Die Laughing, which is March 6th, 7th, and 8th. If we make $1,000, you can send the three of us to Scientology.
To get audited.
Yeah, to get
Andy
audited.
Andy will be there at Die Laughing.
Yes,
Andy will be at Die Laughing. It's going to be really great. So don't forget about that. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes if that's the sort of thing that you do. Thanks so much for listening. We will catch you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I think it should be easy to tell your coworkers that you're gay, but hard to tell them that you're against vaccinations.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Nick went home.